Welcome to Verify Infield, the Millwork podcast. Your host, Jacob Edmond, CEO of Duckworks, will be interviewing experts in the industry to bring you insights and knowledge about the latest trends, techniques, and challenges in millwork. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting out, this podcast is for you. So sit back, relax, and join us as we explore the world of millwork. Here's Jacob.
Welcome back, everybody, to Verify Infield, the Millwork Podcast. My name is Jacob Edmond, and today we are back from a week break. Last week, there was no podcast. I had spent 2 weeks in Bolivia in our offices down there with our team, which down there we have almost 70 people now working down there. And we had one of our clients come visit, so they came, got to spend a couple of days on site with their drafting team that works there. It's a lot of moving pieces. And today, though, we're back in action, and I'm trying a little bit of a new format. So let me know what you think. Shoot me a message, leave a comment on this. Like and subscribe if this really works for you. We'll still have guests in the future. That'll still be our regular format, but I want to intermix some different kind of formats here. And to start with, I want to share some current events in the industry, some things that I've noticed and I want to share with you guys. So the first is this Wood Tech Summit. Next week in Ogden, Utah, March 13th through 15th, there is going to be a brand new conference called the Wood Tech Summit. It's being put on together jointly by All Moxie and Woodworking Network. I have no affiliation or sponsorship or anything, but I will be attending. So if you are going to be there, I would love to meet up. I would love to meet you. Love to connect while we're there. And so shoot me a message and we'll definitely meet up. There's some great topics and speakers there. So Jeff Finney, who he had a podcast himself. He is a really awesome guy that I think I'm excited about his speaking. Looks like David Biggs. There's going to be Eric Marshall, Doctor of Closetology. And some other cool companies and things, all about technology and woodworking. And to cap it off, Friday we get to go skiing. So I think that's pretty awesome. So if you're going, you should check it out and let me know. Let's meet up. Another thing that I noticed this week, Woodwork Institute has announced they are doing offering a new shop drawing inspection program, which I think would be very helpful if you're doing a WI job that is inspected and certified. A lot of times you have to do shop drawing submittals, and that shows the first stage of what you're going to build and if it's compliant. And so a lot of times that's the biggest struggle is, okay, we're going to submit and then we go build, and we don't find out till we start building products or installing them that, hey, we're out of compliance. And here it looks like you can use this service to find out from the start, are we compliant? What are we missing? And get that in order before you proceed with the job. So I think that's a pretty cool thing that I'm interested to see how people utilize. The third thing is Microvellum. And in the last month, I think it was, they actually released and announced their e-learning platform, which they've been in the works for over a year now. Originally was going to be a subscription that you pay for, is free. So you can now, anybody can go to their website, go to their e-learning, to these videos, and there's tons of videos. Everything is free access. You don't have to have an account or anything. But within that, they've actually got these training plans. So these training plans, you can actually go through a structured, self-guided course with videos and instructions, and there's a training plan and there's a quiz. So you can actually evaluate, take a quiz and see how you did at the end. Which will tell you, like, hey, do you understand the concepts? And this is great for training. If you're onboarding a new engineer and you're trying to figure out, hey, how am I going to train them? What are they going to do week one? These plans, you know, all of them together probably are at least a week's worth of content of just the training plans. And then there's more videos from that. So you can put them, you know, week one on some self-guided training and you'll get some results. They'll take the quiz and you'll be able to see how they did. So I think that is really awesome. We're going to be using it at Duckworks for sure, for our team as well. Fourth thing is, this is a couple weeks back now, Styles announced a partnership. They are offering this new software in the U.S. called Smart Cabinet. And so obviously Styles has Homag iX, used to be Wood CAD CAM, which is for the majority of their, you know, larger commercial millwork manufacturers. But there's a bunch, a marketplace of smaller shops that do residential, do face frame, do more simple stuff that is not not nearly as complex as iX. It's not worth the squeeze to learn iX and set up the data and everything. And so this is a much simpler, more straightforward, easier to learn and adopt software that still works with their machinery and cut rate and things like that. So I'm interested to see how this goes. Always awesome to see another option on the marketplace for CAD CAM design. So that's news and current events for this week. And the other day I posted this post on LinkedIn. So if you're not following me on LinkedIn, occasionally I will share my thoughts on things happening in the industry, a lot of times related to engineering and design, whatever. But I shared this one. And what I've been noticing is I have a lot of clients, owners, companies, leaders in the industry will reach out and say, hey, we really need an engineer. Do you know anybody? We really want somebody on site, somebody that's really able to day one, hit the ground running, release custom stuff, whatever we need, right? They can feed our production. At the same time, almost daily, I have engineers reaching out to me saying, hey, I've been working remote since COVID and I really want to stay remote. I'm looking for another job. My company went under, things aren't going well, or just, hey, I'm looking for a better opportunity. Do you know anybody? Seems like a match made in heaven. Skilled engineers, shops looking for skilled engineers, but the biggest gap is location. Understandably, a lot of these shops are in locations where nobody would move aside for the job. It's also expensive to move, pick up your family, and you don't know if it's going to work out. And especially for a role like engineering, which can be done remotely. But what is the gap? Like, what is that? So, you know, this is what I wanted to talk about today because I think both sides have very valid reasons to that they're not aligning. So a shop that is, most shops are not equipped to support remote engineering. So that's the first piece of this. And I get engineers that are so frustrated, like, oh, they're behind the times. Why aren't these shops supporting remote work? That's the future. I'm so much more productive. It's going to save both of us money. A lot of good points, a lot of valid points. But the engineers are not looking at the company side. And from the company's perspective, a lot of times they're just simply not equipped, either from a technological standpoint. All this can be solved, but when they've never done it, and this industry by and large has survived and thrived by having people, like, it's not been a conscious process of training people and developing them and saying, okay, this is how we're going to make sure that you're equipped and set up to learn to be an engineer. It's trial by fire, learn on the job. And that means being on site and, hey, if I'm not here to hold your hand as your manager or your owner, I know that you've got the tools. I need you to go talk to the guy in the shop and figure out what he needs. And I need you to learn by doing. You can't replicate that remotely. Now, it can be done. And if you have processes and systems, then you can 100% bring them on site for a week and they can do the physical work they do remotely. And they have to be able to communicate. But that is a very large hurdle for a lot of companies to get over. And when you're under the gun and trying, like, hey, look, I just need to be profitable. I need to be able to get this work to my shop floor. And you're saying, well, I could do that for you, but I need you to pay me this relatively high wage, right? And it's no employee is cheap. But to then be able to do that, to set up the IT infrastructure, to track, you know, hey, like, they don't know you yet. They don't know if you're a proven commodity or not. So that's the employer side, right? Their stance is, hey, we've never done this before. We don't feel like we're equipped to do it. I don't have somebody to manage and track and make sure that this remote employee, this remote engineer is doing their job correctly, is equipped and set up with the resources to be successful and to be able to check in and manage them. You can't just solve that overnight. From the engineer side, it's a lot of times, well, I've done this before remotely. I know how to do it. And why don't you trust me? Like, you need somebody, hire me. I'm here. And also, like, why am I going to move and pick up my company, my family to move to another place to do a job that you might let me go in a month if it doesn't work out, or 6 months or whatever. So there's some very realistic apprehension and kind of concerns from both sides. What I want to talk to you today, though, is not how to solve that problem, but how to like think about it differently. So one, hey, if you weren't aware, there's a talent gap in our industry, specifically CAD/CAM engineering. And additionally, we're still reeling, I believe, from the pandemic and kind of this people have figured out they can work remote and they don't want to go back. That's understandable. I work remote. And by and large, it's great, you know, but I think if you're an engineer and you're struggling with this and you're frustrated, there's a couple things I won't want to share about, you know, mindset. And this is just Jacob speaking his opinion. But what's helped me, you know, so one, and I struggled with this a lot in the past, is this idea that I went in architecture school, we had to do studio projects and we had to present them to a panel. And we were evaluated by that panel of professors and peers and stuff. I would get so frustrated because the guys who would get A's and A pluses would be, you know, broadcast, oh, their projects are great. And I would look at them and say, well, that's not buildable. Like, they have huge structural flaws. They have, you know, all these things. And I would say, why don't people recognize that my project is better?
We'll be back after a quick break.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
Okay. Now, the problem with that, what I learned through the course of architecture school, is that the best project doesn't win. The best design doesn't always win. The best idea doesn't always win. Now, that sounds crazy, right? It doesn't matter if you're right. What matters is, can you present your idea in a way that you convince the customer, your employer, whoever, that you're right, that your idea is good for them. It doesn't matter if you can be frustrated and say, well, they just can't see, they're too dumb to see, or they don't understand what they're missing. That's great. They don't. But it's not there. Like, if you're frustrated and saying, hey, why aren't these companies hiring me? And they're hiring all these people that are not as good as me. One, be introspective. What is the reason? Maybe it's not valid. Then you don't want to work for that person if they just don't like you. Great. But maybe you're not presenting yourself in a way that's solving a problem worth it to that employer. Everything is transactional when we're talking about this. You know, it's, and that's what you have to understand. I think we've lost a bit of perspective on what's really happening, you know, and I think when you start to understand that, like, it's, you have to add value, and you have to add more, as much or more value than that employer sees that they're compensating you. So, you know, it helps to understand that, one, it's not just your wage. There's a lot of other expenses go into hiring somebody and employing them. But two, is it's relationships. Like, are they perceiving you as being difficult to deal with? Are they perceiving you as being, you know, hard to manage, or you're going to be stubborn, and you're like, from day one, it's like, hey, I don't have this problem solved right now. I'm not going to solve this, like, trade one problem for another. right? I'll just keep the problem I have. And so you have to, with every job, with every opportunity, you're having to overcome the idea of, is the pain of the what I'm dealing with now for the employer, is the pain they're feeling now of not having a person in this seat greater than the pain of the risk of hiring you and it not working out. And so there has to be a give from both sides at any point, you know, and it's, okay, I'm going to take a risk with this employer and the employer is going to take a risk with me. Like, understanding that, right, wrong, or indifferent, you kind of have to understand, get into the psyche of the other side. And same thing for the employers, thinking about the engineers, like, why don't they just want to take this job? Why, you know, why are they asking? Oh, they just want to work from home. They want the easy job. They don't want to come and do the work. What's wrong with millennials these days, or Gen Z, or whatever it is, right? It's very easy as a company owner to be frustrated, and the problem is them. On both sides, you can't control them. All you can control is your actions, what you do, and how you respond to it. And so, and the results are all that matters. And so if you're an employer and you're saying, man, we've had job listings open for years and years and years, and we've just never find good engineers. And you can say the problem is the marketplace, the problem is this, and it is. But you still don't have the results. You haven't found what you're looking for. And you can continue forever and ever and just say, well, we need this, and whether it exists or not, we're going to keep looking for it. And your company could, you know, continue to suffer because you're looking for something that doesn't exist or you can't find. Isn't that a little bit crazy to keep trying the same thing, getting the same results? And so that's where it's, you have to be creative about, well, what is available in the marketplace, and can I shift my business, my process, my structure to take advantage about what is available to get to that result that I need? And so I, you know, this is what I did at my last company. You know, I was VP of engineering over 85 employees, all engineers. And we had five locations. And by the end of COVID, they were split up across 22 states. And so a lot of people get frustrated. I'm like, well, Jacob, no, I disagree. We need to have our people on site. I agree that that's ideal and that's easier. We're aligned on that. But is that feasible? And is that, you know, if I insist and force that to be what we do, I'm limiting myself to one option that may or may not come to fruition. It may not be possible. And in the meantime, my competition might be trying something different. And so I think it's, you know, from the employer's perspective, it's thinking about what is available in the marketplace. What can I do creatively with what's available to be different and to still yield the result? We used to build cabinets without engineers. There's a reason we have software and technology and this stuff. And I think we need another evolution of that. And I don't think anybody's totally figured it out yet, but there are ways to do all this. I went to the eye doctor, you know, a few months ago, and I went in, and there's a tech there that is not an eye doctor. They're not a medical professional, but they were trained to do a couple of different tests. So they check you in, they do the eye puff test, they operate a couple of pieces of equipment, and then they stick me in a room and they turn on a TV, and there's my doctor somewhere else in the world, not in the room. She's operating the eye equipment remotely. So she says, okay, put your chin here. And she's controlling what this is doing to check my eyes. That's a response to, well, if we can't get the people that have the skills we need in the location where the customers need it, how do we figure out how to close that gap? And leveraging technology, it can be done. You just have to be creative. And there's going to be plenty of companies that are going to listen to this and say, well, yep, but that doesn't work for us. We're not prepared. That's great. The company who figures this out and decides to try it and try it and try it and adjust and adjust is going to succeed over everybody else. Now, I don't want this to be a war cry for all of those remote engineers out there that are saying, yes, hire us, listen to us. You have to do work too, because those companies are going to hire the people that help them solve that problem, solve the business problem of how do we get more revenue? How do we be more efficient? How do we solve this problem creatively? Like, as an engineer, you need to do more than just engineering. You need to be easy to work with. You need to be a problem solver. You need to be a good communicator. And all of that tenfold to work remote. You have to communicate before questions are asked. You have to be forthcoming and saying, hey, look, I talked to this person, I've already solved it. Here's what we need to do. Here's what I need from so-and-so. So, and you need to be able to communicate to the company, hey, look, I did this way at this last company. Here's what you can do to help me be successful. And here's how this is going to benefit you. You have to make your case and you have to prove your case with results. And you can't just continue to say, well, they didn't do their part. That's why I wasn't successful. It's not me. All that matters are the results. And you have to understand that both sides are taking risks. So if you're an engineer, there's work out there. You know, if you're struggling and frustrated with the fact that, hey, I'm not getting enough work, these companies are paying people overseas, blah, 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 that's not the real problem. There, Darkworks, we lose customers every day to more expensive options. And we lose customers every day to more cheaper options. There is place in the market for people that add value at the price that it costs them. And what you have to do is find the right partner, and you haven't found them yet. So what am I really saying? I think that there has to be a change in our industry, and I think that it's going to take owners, leaders, decision makers in millwork businesses making conscious decisions, and this is happening already today, but to change, think about the way they do business differently. We've done it in everywhere, and every department except engineering. Engineering is this group. And I think for engineers, we need to understand, I'm a part of this. Like, what I've had to understand is that I'm difficult to deal with by nature. And I am not a good communicator by nature. And I see problems and I like to point out problems. And I am not, like, I have to change my mindset. And I've had to do this of, like, how can I present solutions instead of problems? And how can I over communicate instead of under communicate? And how can I do my best to not take offense, be objective, and build relationships with the people that have the problems on their shoulders in the business? Talk to your shop guys and say, look, what problems do you have? What do I send to you that you redo? What am I sending that you don't like? I don't care if I'm right or you're right. I care that what are you going to do? If I'm going to continually try to put dados in my bottom plates and you're going to flip it over and not use those, let me change the way I'm doing it. Like, you don't have to be right as the engineer. You have to design things that people do. That's all that matters. And so if you keep giving them something and they're throwing those parts away, have a conversation and figure out, okay, what is it that you want? Let me give you what you want. And then once you get over that and they say, oh, look, I can ask this engineer for, this is how I want it built, and they give it to me, they're going to come to you with more stuff and they're going to be open to your ideas. Don't start at the end. Don't start at, hey, here, like, learn and observe and be empathetic to their struggles and help them solve their pain points, and they will be willing to help you with yours. What are you guys' thoughts? I would love to start more of a conversation about this. So I'll share a link to this post in my show notes. But like and comment on, let me know your thoughts on this topic and also on this format. Like, if this is a format that you enjoy and you find value in, I'd love to do more of this where I can share kind of some current events, some news in the industry, and expand on, you know, a topic that hopefully adds value for you. So, it really helps me if you can leave a review, of this podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, on YouTube, follow and subscribe. And if this episode or anything you listen to, you like, give it a thumbs up. That helps me to know what content you guys like and produce more of it for you guys. Until next time, hope to see you guys at Wood Tech Summit, and we'll give you a recap of that next.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Do you want to stay up to date about industry insights, new content, and our community of millworkers? Go to DuckworksMW.com to sign up for our newsletter. I'll see you in the next episode of Verify in Field.